One, two, three, four.
Welcome to It's My Screen Time 2, the podcast where we review the programming the other critics ignore. Stuff made for kids. Find out what to watch for family movie night, what to avoid altogether, and what you'll want to watch alone, voluntarily. I'm Katie.
And I'm Deborah.
And I have two kids, ages 8 and 5.
And I have three kids, ages 14, 11, and 11.
Welcome to a Screen Time in the News episode for the week of April 3rd, 2024.
We are discussing a report this week. The Pew Research Center released a new report on March 11th about U.S. teens and parents and their screen time habits and attitudes. In the days that followed, pretty much every major news outlet published summaries of the report or highlights from the report. I read one from the Washington Post that was syndicated in my local newspaper, the Minneapolis Star Tribune. I ripped out the article, I scanned it on my desktop printer, and I emailed it to Katie because I don't have a Washington Post online subscription, and I wasn't sure if you did either, Katie.
Deborah, I was about to say, okay, Mom, but to be fair, you didn't put it in an envelope and mail the clipping to me, so go on.
I also did this because I am a parent of a teen, and I do not at all spend too much time on my phone. He can criticize me for a lot of things or be annoyed with a lot of my behavior, but messing around on my phone is not one of those things, which is why I wanted to talk about this Pew report, because it will make me look good. Actually, for our purposes, I wanted to discuss this report or the article written about the report in the context of how we model screen time for our kids. The report was about teens and parents, which if you are a parent of a younger child right now, you might be thinking, no, this doesn't apply to me. I don't have a teenager, but it will someday. Your cherubic toddler will someday grow into an adolescent and they might be taller than you and they will not love everything that you do. And you will have to take stock of all of your life choices, including how you use your phone. What did you think, Katie, about this article slash report? Did you find it helpful, interesting, predictable? Did you actually read the report? Did you just read the PDF of the newspaper page that I scanned and sent to you?
Full disclosure, I mostly just read the PDF. I mostly just read the article that you sent me. I went to the report page to specifically see if they addressed my major issue with the article, saw that they did not, and then did not go farther. So the through line of the article is this, as I see it, and I'm confirming with you, so let me know if that's not how you saw it. So first, teens see their parents using their phones a lot, which leads to teens mirroring that behavior, which leads to teens having poor mental health outcomes. And my fundamental issue with that is this isn't about phones. It is about social media. Phones just happen to be where they're accessing it. The problem isn't access to phones. It's access to social media. And I cannot believe that the report barely, if at all, mentions this.
Good point.
I don't know if that was glaring to you at all, but it really frustrated me.
I thought the spin that the major news outlets gave it was like they were trying to spin it as a new insight, because most kids surveyed in this study were annoyed by their parents and the amount of times they spent on their phones. But that is not at all surprising. Teenagers are supposed to be annoyed by their parents. Like, that's one of the developmental milestones that they go through on their way to becoming independent grownups.
Also, I just think it's okay to be doing something else while your child is in the room. And I usually don't mean like looking at social media, because I think that's an evil. But it's okay to not be like immediately responding to your child asking for something. Like, they can wait a second if you need to do something else. But I would also expect them to report annoyance at that. And you know what? That's also okay.
Right. I didn't find enough discussion of I mean, if you get deep into screen time in the news like we do, you know that those apps, the social media apps, they're all designed to be really addictive. It is a strong word, but that is what they're designed to do. They make money by having your eyes on the apps for as long as possible. And there wasn't much in these summary articles about that aspect of the technology.
That's exactly right. And I checked the report for talk about social media and at least didn't find like a section heading about it. So I just think we're dumping too much on the phones. But go ahead, you have more specific questions. I can blather on about this all day.
What is your relationship to your phone when you're around your kids?
As a person who listens to a lot of podcasts, occasionally, I take stock of my life and I say, "When was the last time you read a novel, Katie?" And the answer to that is usually, "I don't remember, Katie." And I make an effort to read more. For instance, I've recently been very proud of myself because when my kids were on spring break, I read two novels and it was amazing.
Oh.
But do you know how I read those novels, Deborah?
Did you read them on your
I
phone?
read them both on my phone.
That sounds horrible to me, but did you like it?
I would have rather read them on a different device, but I was also so reveling because it was like a beach spring break vacation, right? I was so reveling in not having to bring like a giant bag with a million things that I wouldn't have wanted to carry a book with. I just had a tiny purse with a phone in it, and it was amazing. And like a bucket of beach toys, but whatever.
Friend of the pod, Amy reads books on her phone too. I just don't like the bright light. I prefer if I'm going to read on an electronic device, a Kindle. But of course, if you're saving space,
Yeah. I also set
that
it
makes
to
sense.
dark mode so the page is black and the text is white, which I think helps.
Yeah.
I
Oh,
don't know if
sure.
it actually helps, but in my head it helps. So anyway, I've been trying to do more reading, but I'm doing it on the phone, which means that my children are seeing me on my phone. I'm trying to tell them that I'm reading a book. And I'm also never on social media, so they never see me like scrolling Facebook or whatever. We do talk about that period of time when I was severely addicted to the app Best Fiends. And often they would see me playing that and come around to like watch me playing that. And at a certain point, I consciously stopped and I talked to them about it. I said, "Look, this wasn't making mommy feel good. I was spending a lot of time doing it. I would rather do other things. So I am telling you, children, that I will not be doing that on my phone anymore because it was making me feel bad." So, how do you model phone use to your kids who are much closer to, not just closer, who are in teenagerhood?
Well, we have a rule like you can't have your phone at the dinner table, which is pretty a universal rule in my social circle, I think. This was years ago, but I am pretty sure that we read an article about how to use your phone in front of your kids for a screen time in the news segment. And it said, like, you can't avoid it. You have to use your phone for stuff. So I'll be like, if my kids are trying to get my attention or talk to me, I'll be like, I'm writing an email to your teacher right now. Just wait a minute. Or I'm texting your friend's parent to set up a play date for you. Or I'm looking up the driving directions to this place where we are going for a fun family outing to like explain. I'm not just like idly scrolling and liking things. I'm actually using it for a specific function because we all have these phones because they're supposedly useful and making our lives more efficient. I would argue they're not necessarily more efficient than the olden days, but I'll verbalize what I'm doing.
I think that's helpful because you're right. There's no escaping them. But the most that we can do is keep emphasizing to our children that we're not using them to look at vacation pictures posted by an influencer that are making us feel like we really need to do something about our belly fat.
Right. Right. Was there anything in the report useful to you as a parent now or as the future parent of future teenagers?
Well, since I didn't take the report for what it was, and I only kept being frustrated at how it wasn't addressing the elephant in the room, which was social media, it just further cements my terror about social media as they get older. And I would love for us as a society to just recognize it for a social ill in, say, the next 5 years and get rid of it altogether so I never have to deal with it.
Yeah, it made me want to get a flip phone and not get my kids' phones. But then you're setting yourself up for like social isolation if you do that, I guess.
Also, true or false, it's actually kind of hard to find a dumb phone these days.
I think that's true. Yeah. I haven't looked, but I think I've seen that.
The article and the report mentioned the supposedly alarming fact that 95% of teens have a smartphone. But I don't know if you remember your youth, Deborah, but phones were a pretty big part of the teen experience, even when we were kids. And it's not like parents can give their kids access to the family landline that we once mm-hmm. spent hours on.
Right.
Like, there is no landline. What? In that sense, it's obvious that teens would need their own phones.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a tangent. Have you been getting on the podcast you listen to the ads I'm listening to, which are for Zigazoo, which is like a new kids social media thing?
No.
I think I listen to like a lot of iHeartMedia podcasts mm-hmm. and that's in their ad rotation really heavily right now, and it's like this social media for kids where they can post photos but people can't comment on them. It sounds super creepy.
I don't...
It's like social media without the bullies, but like the bullies, they can't comment on your post but they can like still see it. I don't know, I think it's a really bad idea.
Yeah, I don't need training wheels for my kids' social media that I don't want them to ultimately use at all.
Definitely not.
Ooh, I don't like it. This podcast brought to you by...
I mean, I would take that Zigazoo sponsorship money if they want. That would be fine with me. Does this even feel like a productive discussion to you? Should we feel bad for how we model screen time, specifically mobile phone devices?
Okay, here's the thing. My mother paged through plenty of catalogs in front of me. She used the phone book in front of me. She watched soap operas in front of me. She read books in front of me. I am still doing all of those things in front of my kids except the soap operas. They're just happening on the same screen. Do we suddenly vilify all of these things because we use one screen to do them? And this feels part and parcel of the idea that parenting always and 100% has to be revolving around your kids and their needs, and you cannot let up on that constant pressure for a minute. And I just don't know that we need to feed into that.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. Let's end our discussion about this dumb Pew Research Center report and the dumb articles about it there.
We've just been chewing up reports and spitting them out lately. I love it. We're savage. We're mean girls is really what we are. All right, so let's do some catch up on what we're watching and what our kids are watching. So we obviously went to see Kung Fu Panda 4 with our kids. What else have you been watching with your kids, or have your kids been watching?
Libby's been really into Young Sheldon. Making their way through like the whole, I mean, it's like a lot of seasons, a lot of episodes.
Is Young Sheldon a Chuck Lorre joint? I feel like I see like Chuck Lorre sitcoms in your future.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's like a spinoff of like the Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so I prefer that to Hazbin Hotel.
Oh, that's true. Very true.
And I prefer it to video games, although I don't really have a problem with video games.
Young Sheldon is still going, yes?
I have no idea. I've sat down and watched a few. They're just, it's like a dad joke multicam sitcom, basically. There's nothing really wrong with it, except sometimes there's like what I would consider like negative gender stereotyping, but that's like, what show doesn't have that?
Yeah. Do they paper over it by setting it in the 80s?
I think so. Yeah.
And also, it may just feel like this because what is time, but shouldn't the young actor playing young Sheldon be approaching teenagerhood himself at this point?
Probably.
We are finally coming to the end of the MCU.
Ooh.
Which means that I have finally seen The Eternals, which is an MCU movie that I had just let pass me by. But when you're watching things with an 8-year-old, you have to be a completist. So we watched it, and it was indeed very bad.
Aw. Well, wow. That's an achievement.
We're not quite done with it yet, but it felt good to, like, be able to bond with your kids about how bad a movie is. Like, so often when you're watching things with your kids, you're like, this is very bad, and yet I am watching it with you, and you are enjoying it. But in this case, we all could tell. It was kind of nice. So what's on your watch list when you're not watching with your kids these days?
Okay, Jeremy and I have been watching Constellation, a show on Apple TV Plus, which I don't like it. I don't enjoy it, but it's got such a mystery behind it that we have to finish it.
Oh, no.
So we're like 2 episodes away from finishing it, and I can't wait.
Oh, I hate that feeling, the obligation TV feeling. We also just finished an obligation TV program that I've talked about in previous episodes. We finally finished Masters of the Air, also on Apple TV Plus. And it definitely picked up plot-wise in the later episodes, but it felt like they were just trying to add every single element of World War II into, like, the back 3 episodes. So it didn't feel cohesive at all. But whatever, we're done with it, and I am glad. We had been trying to finish this series so we didn't get distracted by having, like, 80 series in the middle. But as a result, we didn't, like, keep careful notes of what we're supposed to be watching next. So we're definitely very behind. I don't know. I'm sure we'll find something. But at the moment, we're, like, emerging from our foxhole, if you'll pardon the World War II reference. Just looking around blearily and saying, what even happens next? What next, television?
Thanks for listening to our discussion about parenting, screens, and teens. Next week, we'll be back with a review of The Loud House. If you enjoyed our show today, please recommend the show to one friend you think would enjoy it too. We love growing our community of parents for sanity and screen time. Would you like more words about screen time? Subscribe to our newsletter at myscreentime2.com. Tune in next time for more real talk about the movies and TV we watch with our kids because we have to, and sometimes because we like to. Bye. Screen time.